Labor Day weekend is upon us, and with that, it means one last tourist-filled weekend up at Mackinac Island before the hotel owners and fudge shops and temporary workers start battening down the hatches for another long winter. For many a Michigander, the Labor Day Mackinac Bridge Walk in its 57th year marks the unofficial end of summer. Published this summer, the new book, Mackinac Island, Inside, Up Close, and Personal, delves into the social, economic, and political events that have shaped the island for the last half century. It's written by perhaps the state's foremost expert on Mackinac, Dennis Cawthorn. A longtime politician and lobbyist here in Lansing, Dennis and Mackinac go back 54 years, from loading carriages in college to founding one of the island's most popular restaurants, the Village Inn, to heading the Mackinac Island State Park Commission. Dennis Cawthorn has seen a lot on Mackinac over the decades, and he joins me now to talk about some of the memories. Welcome to Current State, Dennis Cawthorn.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. It's a beautiful day, by the way, on Mackinac, and that's where I'm speaking to you from.
Well, that's verisimilitude, if ever I heard it. Why did you decide to write this book? Did it just all have to come out here after all this time on the island?
Well, after 54 years up here, being involved, as you have already indicated, in so many things, I just felt that there was a story to tell. And essentially, I thought that this was a book that would be unique, and I think it is, because it isn't the usual book about the architecture or the history or the fudge. It's really the story, the inside story of people and events here on Mackinac in the last 54 years or half century. And it really tries to give the true flavor of what Mackinac is really all about. And to do it in a way that is entertaining and also highly informative.
You started on the island loading carriages during the summer when you were in college. When was that, and what was the island like at that time?
Well, that was 1960, a long time ago. And as we say in the book, it really was sort of the beginning of a new era for the island. And the reason for that was that I-75 had just been completed, and so now there was a good fast route all the way, literally from Miami to Sault Ste. Marie. People could travel here very easily. The Mackinac Bridge had just opened on November 1st, 1957, and the island was basking in some very favorable national publicity. Saturday Evening Post had a big story on Grand Hotel and its owner, W. Stuart Woodfill. And finally, presidential candidate John F. Kennedy came to the island, actually trying to sew up the Democratic nomination for the presidency. So all these things sort of converge, and it just so happened that that was also my first year on the island, so it really was sort of the beginning of a new era.
What about since then, Dennis? I people think of Mackinac Island as a place that hasn't changed in decades, but since 1960, what changes have you seen?
Well, number one, the total number of visitors is far greater now than it was then. In 1960, even though the bridge opened and I-75 opened, we only had in those days probably about 400,000 visitors a year. Now the island has, in any single year, probably pretty close to 800,000. What has not changed is the fact that 83% of the island is actually owned by the state of Michigan and is a state park, and there can't be any development on that 83%. So that means that we can be pretty sure that 83% of the island will basically not change. But on that 17% that is not state-owned, there has been a lot of change, a lot of new construction, a lot more businesses up here than there used to be. And so there have been a lot of developmental pressures that have, come into play. And we talk about those in the book and sort of how they came about and how they were resolved and what the outcome is.
Were we ever close to having cars on the island?
That's a good question. Actually, that's been a long-standing battle. The city of Mackinac Island, in the city part of the island, did ban the auto back in 1898. State Park did it a few years later, although they didn't really They didn't really nail down the ban in the state park until much later. But over the years, yes, there have been pressures to allow cars. For example, during the Depression, State Highway Commissioner actually proposed building a series of bridges from Sheboygan to Boblo Island to Round Island to Mackinac, and then to have a highway that circled the island and then leapt over the water via a bridge to St. Ignace.
Oh, my.
And he thought it would be, you know, one of the world's great scenic highways. And that came about as pressure from the Great Depression to sort of pump some life into northern Michigan's economy. But that went by the wayside. But we did have another incarnation of the battle in the 1970s when there was a lot of pressure to allow snowmobiles on the island. And eventually the State Park Commission did semi-capitulate, allowed snowmobiles for certain months in certain parts of the island. So, yeah, there's been a lot of pressure over the years.
Who is primarily resisting that pressure today?
Well, you know, I think the State Park Commission, you know, really is in the forefront of making sure that things don't get out of hand. However, you know, the city government here, generally speaking, despite a lot of pressure, has held the line quite well. And then there are locals who have really, you know, gone to great lengths to assure that we have good preservation. And in fact, several historic districts were created within the last year. And that came about as a result of local citizen involvement and pressure to protect areas that are not in the state park.
Dennis Cawthorn is our guest here on Current State, the author of the recently published book, Mackinac Island, Inside, Up Close, and Personal. Your book gets into some of the hilarity and hijinks, particularly in the politics that have happened on the island over the years. You mentioned JFK's visit there in 1960. What story rises to the top for you?
Well, gosh, there's you know, just a whole bunch of them. Harry Truman came to the island. This was a few years before I got here, but he met the island's mayor, and the island's mayor's last name was Goff, and that led to a rather famous introduction that probably is best read and not told on the air. The diminutive mayor self-introduced himself enthusiastically to the president of the United States, or rather the former president, and Grand Hotel's W. Stuart Woodfill had to quickly correct the mayor because the mayor's self-introduction involved some double entendre that the mayor never intended. Then, you know, one of our stories, too, is about the renovation of the governor's residence back when John Engler was governor. And John Engler liked this moose head that Frank Kelly had donated to the governor's residence. Mrs. Engler hated the moose head, but she made a deal with Governor Engler. Mrs. Engler said, "If you will keep your nose out of the renovation project, I will let you keep the moose head that I so much detest." And so they struck a bargain. The moose head is there, I believe, to this day. And the renovation went on without a male's intervention.
What really happens on the island in the wintertime, Dennis?
Well, we have a whole chapter on that, too. And a lot of people are really intrigued by that. You know, what goes on Mackinac in the winter? And we talk about that, at some length. You know, about 500 people remain on the island during the winter. One thing that has changed is the usage of snowmobiles, which has made people in the winter really more mobile on the island than they are during the summer. And so whereas pre-snowmobile, the island really went to sleep in the winter, now, you know, there's a lot more, as I say, mobility. People can actually cross the ice, although it's not necessarily highly recommended. They can cross the ice to St. Ignace in the winter. They can go downtown for a meal in midwinter, whereas in the old days people would literally have to trudge through snowdrifts a mile or two or even three to do some of these things.
Mm. Have you ever spent the winter there?
I have not spent the whole winter. I value my sanity. but I do in the winter usually visit at least once a month to take care of business. So I know what it's like, and I have crossed over on the ice to St. Ignace by snowmobile many times. And it's an experience. It's beautiful. And some people say it's more beautiful in the winter than it is in the summer. But you've got to be prepared to have only one or two restaurants, one or two watering holes, or one or two places to stay. You don't have the big variety you have during the summer.
Yeah, we don't want you to go Overlook Hotel on us there, Dennis. So
no,
there's a strong Native American presence on the island, even to this day. How has that shaped Mackinac?
Well, in the book, we talk about the sort of the cultural milieu of the island, if you will, and a lot of people don't realize it. But the Native American presence has always been very strong on the island. Now, somewhat less in recent years, but Native Americans, but more precisely French Indian, people of French Indian heritage, have always made up a large population or percentage of the population here. And that has always been a very strong presence. The other thing is, or the other element that historically has been very important to the island are Irish Americans. The Irish came over to the island, sometimes via Beaver Island, and very early on were the, along with the French Indians on the island, were the dominant ethnic group. And to this day, the island still has a very strong Irish heritage. And, of course, when JFK made his visit here in 1960, that was a very, very big thing, not just because it was the visit of a presidential candidate, but because the local Irish population swooned over JFK, mm-hmm. and that was a very big deal.
What do you think Mackinac will look like in, say, 50 years? You ever think about that?
Well, that's a good question. I think that it will still it will retain its charm and its beauty. Yes, there are a lot of development pressures, but I would say that that the island generally looks better and feels better than it has at any time in the past. Yeah, there have been some building projects that have been controversial and not popular, but overall, the feel of the island, the look of the island, the ambiance, I think, is the best it's ever been. And so I'm pretty confident that going forward, Mackinac is going to be a great place. And again, it's full of all sorts of colorful characters and great events that that this book really tries to portray.
Dennis Cawthorn is the author of the recently published book, Mackinac Island, Inside, Up Close, and Personal. Thanks for joining us, Dennis.
Thank you very much, Mark. My pleasure.